Ladies and gentlemen, it's 9 o'clock, April 15th, 2019. This is the Curry Beach Town Council Budget Workshop. We'll call the meeting to order and begin the review of the last meeting and what those actions were. So can we start with presentation of the revised draft by Mr. Copenhaver?
Okay, so what I was just starting out, and just this is where we started at the last meeting, just some of the general assumptions. So all I've done is I just kind of updated it. So what you see in green is what changed after the last meeting. So it's really, we decided on lowering the minimum gallons to 2,000 for water and sewer, and then a 10% rate tier increase for all customers. Decided to have a general fund contingency of $20,000, which was the amount estimated for the, I guess it's a CAMA, if we get the CAMA grant for a beach access. And then the other change was something that was left open after the end of the last meeting, which was about adding full-time personnel. And I guess after getting all of council's input, it was decided that, or at least your decision at that point was to add two positions, police and building inspection. So the public works position was only voted on by, I guess, two council members. Police was unanimous, and building inspection was four. So this round of the budget has two full-time positions in, so the public works position has been taken out.
With that assumption, did you and Jimmy talk about either contracting or part-timers?
We did talk about that. It's not built into this, but okay. Jimmy and I went through some numbers, you know, what that would look like.
Okay. I mean, you just got to support the work, so.
Right.
So that's why I asked him if it wasn't successful to have a backup plan to support the work that he thinks we have to do.
And we can talk about that when we get to the general fund, anything else that we think needs to be added, which that would be. So this is where we were last time when we started. And really, just the general fund was short of a little over 100, to about 138,500, and the water and sewer fund was short about 61,500. So what I've done, we'll start with the general fund, and this really starts where we were last time with the shortage up at the top. And any additions or decreases in expenses that were talked about at the last meeting, and then at the bottom, any changes to revenue. So if we go up to the top, I guess one of the things that was talked about was there should be a contract for HVAC and generator maintenance. Now, we don't have a firm number. I don't know if Alan got anything yet this morning. So we threw in $5,000. The next one for administration under building maintenance was some additional amounts for adding gutters to the building, which I guess is still unknown whether it's going to be included yet this year in the actual project.
Yeah, there's a potential out there that the project number, this is to cover us if we don't have money left in the project to do it. We're pretty close right now. So this possibly could come out before June 30th, or before the public hearing. That one.
So that's around the perimeter.
Yeah,
outside perimeter.
Yeah.
Next, emergency management. I guess your direction was to add a satellite phone. So that's what that additional $2,000 is for.
Does that include the phone and the service?
Yes, that's the estimate. Because we already had 500 there, so this is 2,000 on top of. So the budget for that. For emergency management would be 25.
Is that buying the phone outright, or is that doing it with the contract?
Well, you buy the phone in the minutes. You have to buy the minutes.
Okay. And next, which it's really a town-wide project, but since police started it, we had to put it somewhere.
Yes,
so that town fuel tank, I just put in the police department. Estimate of 110,000. I think the proposal was a little over 103, but then there were some things like, we needed to run electricity and some other things. So we just you know, increase that a little bit to 110. Also down at the very bottom, I don't want to skip around too much, but we said if we don't get any type of grant, what we would end up doing is financing that. So that at the bottom, it's a direct offset with $110,000 of financing. Mm-hmm. Then the other increase.
One question is, does a portion of that come from the fund? Your portion or no?
Right.
That's the portion.
Yeah.
Right now, that's not the way this is set up.
But is that a possibility?
It is, but we would have to pay for only our portion, a small portion, because we can't use it for public works and fire.
Right. We have to do annual reporting of exactly what we spend this for. So we have to be careful.
Right.
And like Mike said, it would have to be a good estimate of what portion of that is actually for the police department.
Okay.
So right now it's just set up completely in the general fund.
All right. Understood. Thank you.
And then the next increase was to add that $20,000 contingency that I mentioned. Some decreases, contributions, that's the outside agency, and that was, you know, based on council's decisions at the last meeting. And then the other decrease was to take out the proposed full-time position in public works. In under revenue, I went back. One, we got some new information on estimates from the state in regard to projections for next year. So that allowed me to go back and, you know, reevaluate like sales tax, the electricity sales tax, beer and wine tax. So those things, I increased the actual revenue budget from where it was last time based on all the new information. Sales tax refund, that's kind of a moving target as we get the last thing from the contractor for this fire station and town hall project. I can kind of fine tune that better, but I increased that by $15,000. Again, that, like I mentioned last time, this is a like a one-time thing. I mean, next year we'll be back to a more normal type of refund. This time we're pretty much more than twice what we normally have. TDA, I also upped that a little bit, looked at the history on the TDA fund and what typically has been available. We've had some, you know, fairly sizable increases in available funds over the last few years, so I felt comfortable adding another $10,000 there, which we can use for whether it be some of the Parks and Rec programs or even maintenance, or even if it comes down to it, things like overtime by you know, police, public works, you know, during the summer season too. So I think the total I have there now is $260,000 that we try to use during the course of the year, which, again, I think we definitely have sufficient expenses to cover that, and the revenue source seems to be sufficient the last couple of years. So.
I feel very comfortable with that because of the new process they have at county to track and enforce. Okay.
So taking all those things into account, we're still at a shortage of a little over $55,000 in the general fund. So I don't know if anyone has any questions. And then there's a couple other items that are still outstanding. As David mentioned before about some temporary personnel or temporary help for public works, that's not factored into here. The other thing is radios. I think at the last meeting, the instruction or direction was to add the purchase of radios to this budget. That's not included here at this point. And I kind of defer on that, whether we want to talk about that or now or later, to kind of Ed and Mike about what they found out about radios, and you know, we can kind of talk about why that's not in here. So.
Whatever you like, gentlemen. You want to speak to the radios, and we'll get into some more detail later.
Sure, we got a quote for radios. They ended up being $6,100 a piece for the portables, which was $2,000 more than what we paid a year and a half ago for the portables, and that was to add VHF to those portables. And they would work year round, and if we had a storm, we could use the VHF. Okay. That seemed very high to me. Wasn't real happy about it. So we went back and looked, and now we're looking at VHF radios and the possibility of having, what's that thing called?
A repeater.
A repeater.
In that town.
That town hall.
That would be a whole lot cheaper. We've got two portables. We're testing out now. They're spotty without the repeater. Which Dan's working on the computer portion. I'll let him talk about that. But I just thought the radios were way too expensive to look at right now. And that's why I just didn't really want to pursue it, just because of the cost.
I think in total it was almost $250,000 for the number of radios that we thought were necessary.
Yeah. What do you think the VHF stuff would cost?
Is it too... The separate part of it?
Yeah.
So right now we're demoing two radios. They're pretty similar to what Jimmy has. They're $275 a piece. That's a full kit. Yeah. We're demoing them now. They have okay range from the town hall area to about Water Oak. And then down on the north side, depending on which buildings you're in front of, it's kind of a similar range. So we had spoken with the professionals up there, communication specialists, and they recommended a repeater with an antenna, which would cost about $7,000 to $10,000. That being said, the old fire station has a repeater and antenna for the old pagers that we used to use. So I had asked if he could reprogram the current repeater, and it's a possibility. He's looking into it right now. So it could be worth it, just the programming fee of, I would estimate $500 to demo the VHS with the antenna prior to moving forward with purchasing 30 or 40 VHF radios. And it's just a backup solution, just like during the storm we were using Jimmy's VHF. So
I think that's a pretty savvy move on your part to the two of you to look at that alternative. Emergency manager, do you have any?
No, I agree. Because I mean, I'm with both of the chiefs. Issuing $6,100 pieces of equipment to our guys to carry around is going to cost us a lot in the long run, and it doesn't really buy that much. And if we have a separate system that we keep up, that's a lot cheaper for the 1 in 7 or 10 years we need to use it. I mean, I think that was perfect. It's a great way to look at a simpler solution, and it might be something you could have your lifeguards or validate, or Jimmy could even use as part-time stuff. So once we find it with $275 radios, it might have lots of other opportunities. And reusing a repeater and an antenna array is a great option as well if you can do that. Because, when you need it, you need it, but we shouldn't spend $200,000 for something that we might not use for 7 years. So I think they're going down the right path, and we should just, you guys continue and then let us know, because it sounds like that's something we would fund.
We should hear that something back within the next couple of days, whether or not they can reprogram the repeater. And then I think the decision will be, is it worth it to spend the $7,000 before we know, is it really going to give us the range that we need during the storm?
Is that antenna all the way up on the cell tower? It is, right?
Yep. There's two of them. One's, I believe, one's ours.
Yeah.
It might need to be retweaked and plugged in, but...
Yours don't go through the repeater now, right?
Yeah, I think it does. Don't we have a repeater in this little bay back there?
Yes. There's a repeater in there, but I don't know whose it is.
It's up over where the ice
maker is. But is that your handheld VHS now? And they got good coverage all the way through the town, right?
Yeah, I mean, actually, I can pick it up at my house in Monkey Junction.
Yeah. I mean, with radios, it's all about altitude. If it's all the way to the top of that cell tower, you're going to get the whole island probably pretty well. So I think that's a great look at it. I mean, the other option is just get more on that repeater channel that we already have.
Yeah, I was going to ask, can we not put another?
You have multiple channels on yours, right?
Yeah,
that's what he's going to try to do is reprogram. Well, you mean Jimmy's repeater?
Yeah.
They can, but they'd have to add some specialty thing towards the antenna. They got to have like a splitter. He said that's around $5,000, so it's possible, but it might be worth it to have a separate one just in case.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Additional $2,000 or whatever it ends up being.
That's a lot better than $200,000.
Oh, yeah.
So right now, like I said, we're waiting to see if they can reprogram. If that's the case, I think the direction would probably be to move forward with trying that out and then purchasing the radios after that.
Yeah, I like that you're trying stuff out before you decide to, because you find out the truth, right?
And then, as well, speak with Arlen, there's a few new radios on the market. So Motorola's kind of a higher-end radio.
Right.
Right now, we've demoed some Kenwood radios for the lifeguards. So we have 13 radios, and the Motorola's are right around $4,700 to $6,000 a piece. We've demoed the Kenwoods, and they're $1,299 a piece, so it's a better option. Now, that being said, it currently will not work for the police department,
because right.
they've got a special encryption.
Right.
So we're asking the question, can we get the encryption put onto the Kenwoods,
right.
but that's not a solution for the police department. So. Did you want to add anything to that, Carl?
Well, I think we're talking with Ed and Mike. If we want to move forward with any of these things, if that's a decision, I would do it this year, the year we're in right now, not
yeah.
included in the, because we've had, you know, FEMA money come in, we've had some insurance claim money come in, so, and based on what we're talking about, it just might be a good idea to just incorporate it, you know, actually, again, the decision is to go forward and do it before June 30th.
So does the decision have to be made, or do you have to spend the money?
Spend the money. I mean, we actually have to have the radios in hand. So
okay. Do you think you can be that fast?
That's okay. Can we get it done that quickly? Do you think, Ed?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So then, if we're going to do that, what's the consensus of council?
Well, I've heard. Do it.
I've
do
heard
it this year if we can do it.
I think so too.
Joe.
Yeah.
John. Okay. So we have 100% consensus. Let's go. If you think it's viable and it works, when
right.
you make that decision, execute.
I'm sorry, so the consensus was to move forward with
evaluating the lower cost solution with VHF radios and a repeater, and if supported by both department heads, executing in this fiscal year, wherever Arlen says it goes.
Well, we'll figure that out.
That's right. Yeah.
Nice work. Okay. Anything else, Arlen, on this page?
Not on this page. Just you know, as I said, we still do have a shortage in the general fund, and if there's any other, I guess, items that anybody needs to bring up at this point in time that would either add to that shortage or reduce that shortage, we talked about briefly the public works and
right.
potential temporary help that would affect this.
So, do you have any information on what that effect would be? I know you guys talked about it, but
yeah, you know, the part of it potentially would fall in this current year if we were looking at June 1st to you
right.
know, let's say the end of August. So,
that's right.
So if we were to go, you know, the part that would just fall into this upcoming, the new fiscal year, and depending what the rate of pay would be, if it was $12.50 an hour, it would be about $4,800 per person. That's compensation and Social Security taxes. If we were to pay them $15 an hour, it would be about $5,800 per person. And that would be for about 9 weeks.
Let me ask a few questions along that line. Does the current budget include GME's number two?
Yes.
Which is not on board at this point in time.
Right, but it's actually in the water and sewer fund, not in the general fund.
Okay, thank you for reminding me of that. So it really doesn't have any bearing on this discussion.
Well, I mean, it's a manpower issue,
yeah.
right? So it does. It's a person. But I think the issue is when Jimmy and I talked about it, you know, what I told him is it sounds like council is not fully supportive of a full-time person, which we understood. And I said, so you as a department head need to have a backup plan. And the backup plan is look at when your real workload is and then how you would address it. And as we talked through that, there's two ways to address it. Well, yeah, there's three ways to address it. One, don't do the extra work. So something gets left out. Two is use part-time work, or three is contract it out, right? We've already got some work being contracted as we change all the landscaping stuff, right? So we got to work all that out. So we're not 100% sure exactly what the workload is, but Jimmy's pretty convinced that this summer, with the guys he have, he's not going to be able to do everything that we want him to do. And so that's how he started with asking for a full-time person. Now it's, okay, well, I still got to do this stuff, but council's not supportive of that. How do I do it? And that's why him and Arlen explored part-time versus contracting, right? And there's pros and cons to either one. I'm a little concerned about finding a part-timer, so even if we budget it, I don't know.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. The way the work world is, I'm hearing all kinds of problems about people finding people, so I don't even know we'll be able to get the person necessarily, but that's Jimmy's and Mandy's problem, I guess, right? On the people side, recruiting, but on the budgetary side for this discussion, it's okay, how's council going to support it, right? Whether it's contracted or part-time, it's financial, right? It's money. Mm-hmm. And he's asking for an increase in his staffing budget of, it sounds like, is that $4,800 for the whole summer or just
nine weeks?
If, the other part would be in this current fiscal year.
So right.
Another 4 weeks. If you, again, we're looking at June 1st to the end of August.
Yeah. And so... So instead of $47,000, which Arlen's taken out of the budget, he's trying to add back in $5,000, right? And
well, that's one person, $5,800 or so.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the issue. I support that. I don't know that we're going to be able to staff it, so I don't know if we'll get to spend it. But I think we should give him a shot to find the person. I mean, the other option is to expand some type of contract, but that's more complicated to contract the type work he's doing. With his department, I think. I mean, you might could say, okay, Thursday pickups, we find someone to do that, and we don't do that. But coordinating that's a way bigger mess for his department, I think, personally. I don't know what Jimmy's feeling.
I personally think if we can find somebody, a college student or high school student, I know we probably want to watch the age we hire, but if he can put them doing tasks like mowing, weeding, things
right.
that take away from the jobs.
That's right.
I think it's a smart way to do it.
Yeah. Well, and the other good thing about that is you might find the next guy because you get to try him out. So when we talked about it, there's a lot of positives to having a part-time guy because if someone retires unexpectedly, you've already worked with someone, you've tried them out. There's some value to the part-time.
We actually are going to have an opening, aren't we, Jimmy?
Yes.
Some one of our men are leaving.
Yeah, I had one that leave last week.
Last week.
Oh, so you're down another person, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah. He's down two now.
That helps the budget in the short term, but it doesn't help the work.
It doesn't help, no. Tough time of year to lose anybody. Okay.
Did he get recruited by someone else?
Excuse me?
Did he get recruited by someone else or retire?
No, he got recruited somewhere else.
Yeah. I'm worried that's going to start happening because unemployment is so low right now. So anyway, my recommendation to council as the liaison is that we add $5,800 back in for a part-timer, and that's the placeholder for the budget, and then Jimmy's got to figure out how to do it with personnel support.
Okay. John, your opinion?
I'll second.
I'm good.
You're good.
Okay. $5,800 back in.
So I just made the problem worse.
What's that?
I just made the problem worse. There you go.
Yeah, thanks. Mostly you usually make them better.
So, Arlen, just kind of from a high-level strategic thing, I've been trying to look in the news. Have Riceville, I know the county signaled they're not going to have a tax increase. Wilmington's signaling that, too. Riceville, I couldn't find anything on. I mean, I'm out of town, so I'm not talking to anyone, but...
I mean, the last I heard, they weren't either, but that was a while ago.
And then Carolina Beach, I heard, hasn't even had a budget meeting yet. Is that true still?
I thought they had something at least.
I think they're waiting for the new manager to come forward with the budget.
They ain't got time.
they are running out of time.
I don't know how that's going to work out, right? But, I mean, they got pinged by the league.
Yeah. Now, what was your question? I'm sorry,
David. Just interested... You know, what other towns are doing, so are we the only one in the news if we say bad news?
We've raised their parking fees
substantially
already, so that's going to be a boost to their general fund budget.
Well, according to the information I have, Wrightsville is not going to pursue that line of bad news.
Okay.
The county is not going to pursue that line of bad news, and I don't believe our friends in Carolina Beach are, though, given... the problems and issues they had on that last audit and the recommendations,
right.
I'm not sure what they're going to do
right.
at this point in time. But
it was their philosophy of the last town manager to raise rates and fees for services other than tax increases. So
but
town manager could
be a new
philosophy.
When the revenues don't come in, those revenues aren't sustainable when you have a bad year at Freeman Park, or if you have a bad year doing other things. Those aren't guaranteed revenues, so it probably hurt them substantially.
That's what I think. I was just interested, right, from more strategic.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, I mean, from my standpoint, Arlen, you can tell me if you agree. Either we change something or you raise taxes. That's where we're at this point in the process. At least that's my thoughts. Maybe I'm wrong, but.
Well, I can throw out one other option. It's not something we've really done in the past, but that's to use fund balance to balance the budget. But I went back and did some research, and what could make that not as bad as it may sound is the fact that how much of our budget do we actually use every year.
Right.
So if we were to be looking at a shortage, well, now it's, what, 60, almost 61?
Right.
1,000. Typically, we would have that left over at the end of any given year, you know, more than that amount, actually, that we would be kind of like unused budget. So, again, it's not been something I've really been in favor of. I mean, I prefer not to do that at least a regular basis.
Do you have our reserves grown?
Well, yeah, we've grown over the last 8 years or so, probably $1.5 million.
Well,
but I meant from last year to this year, if we were to take something, because we got some money from FEMA and other things, would we have any growth?
Most likely, yes, but it's still in a it's hard until the year actually closes out. Right. It's really hard to say, yeah, we're going to add X dollars or whatever, because there's too many things that can still happen between now and the end of the year. I mean, just the timing of our revenue. I mean, you know, we pretty much got all the property tax revenue we're going to get. So, you know, that came in that November, December, January time frame. So now we're starting to spend down again. Because the only other significant revenue we have during the rest of the year is really sales tax revenue. And that's really only about, you know, approximately $70,000 a month. So
sales tax and John, and John's income. But, and John, you're typically conservative on your estimates, I believe.
Yeah, well, I think that's the right way to do it. So I guess the question is, when you say that, Arlen, is the error off because the department has spent less than they asked for, or because we take in more than we estimate? Or is it a mixture?
It's both.
So you're really conservative and they're really tidy, which is good on both sides.
I mean, looks like typically we spend about 93% of the, and this is the tricky part, of the amended budget.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because typically during the course of the year, certain things are going to come up that require us to change the budget, as you know. If I go back and look at our expenditures in relation to
the
original budget, well, then we have some, you know, some years we would have gone over.
Right.
And, you know, other years we would not. But
I mean, you bring up a good point, and that is why I ask how much of the budget we normally spend at the last meeting, because I really would not want to get into a tax discussion for money we don't need. Mm-hmm. Or haven't or won't use. But in any case, why don't we come to the close, see what all of this comes to, and then I think we can have a more detailed discussion on that.
One of the first meetings I had with Arlen was how much do we spend on fund, how much do we budget for out of fund balance to balance mm-hmm. our budget? And he said, we don't do that.
Right.
Every place that I've ever worked, that was the way you kept from raising taxes, because majority of the places knew that they were going to spend 93-94% of the budget, and as long and hey, I've had management that toyed with the revenue side of the budget to get a little not as conservative to get those numbers up. So there's different ways of playing with it to gain the same advantage. But if we're only spending 93% of the budget, I don't think it's a big gamble to budget this out of fund balance.
Well, I mean, when we give these folks a budget, these are all professionals in this room. They use their best ability to control that budget, not to exceed the budget, to be tidy, as you mentioned it, and to maintain themselves within that budget. But it's essentially our approval that says spend that money.
Yeah.
So unless there's very good direction, I'm not really a fan of using a general fund to balance anything, but we'll see when we're done and what the influence of the council is, and we can hope that they continue to perform excellently as they have, based on the fact that they underdo the budget. Maybe we're other things come in and out. We'll get into that discussion, I think, when we know what the total is. Mm-hmm. Right now, this is the total for the general fund, with the exception of, radios will be this year, with the exception of $5,800.
That's right.
Okay.
Unless somebody has anything else at this point.
I do. I'm going to throw a quick monkey wrench in it.
Yeah.
Hopefully not bad. Been talking to the chiefs and sheriffs, and they're everybody's looking for ways to keep people on nights and days and what have you. And I was looking to see if we could potentially do, and I've talked with Arlen, a one-time bonus per year for all my night shift guys, which would be four guys. They work an average of 2,016 hours at night. Just a $2,000 bonus for four night guys.
2,000 each?
2,000 each, and then you take taxes out, so it's really not even going to be 2,000. I think we figured it out to be about $9,800.
Because of the budget.
Fight the taxes and then retirement, and be subject to retirement and 401k.
Do we have any variance at all between day shift and night shift?
No, none right now.
No financial variance at all.
The hospital, I'm pretty sure, does at least $2 an hour for night shift, and there's another difference for working weekends. I'm just looking at different ways to keep people on nights and keep them motivated to work nights.
And in general, until we staff, night is where we normally have a potentially single officer.
Well, day shift right now, but there has been several night shifts in the past that have gone with one guy on night shift. So, just looking at different options. I know it's not the greatest, but it doesn't go for their salary necessarily, so it doesn't affect their long-term long-term.
But I am a little surprised, because almost every place I've ever worked, the night shift has been a premium. So I'm kind of surprised that that's not happened in the past. But
we've talked about it. If we do it through payroll, it's a huge hassle, because you have to change everybody's pay every time you work a night shift. So I was hoping that a one-time bonus, if you work primarily nights, say 85% of your thing is at night, you would get a one-time bonus of $2,000 throughout the year.
When would you like to give that bonus?
I would leave it up to the guys, but I was thinking more around May.
Around May? So it would actually be in this year's
holiday pay.
But you would need it for next year's as well.
And obviously it wouldn't be this year, it would be for this May, but next May. So just looking at different options. I know everybody's trying to keep people, and I know Carolina Beach is having a problem.
It's Riceville, right?
Yeah, they've lost some too.
There's a lot of people leaving Sheriff's Department going to Brunswick County as well.
They're paying significantly more in Brunswick, aren't they?
Supposedly, yes, sir. That's what I've been told.
How many people, Chief? Four?
There's four night shift guys that it would affect throughout the year. It's $2,000 apiece, and about $9,800 is what we.
So I'm very supportive of the amount, but I would recommend you write the program differently. I would recommend you do it quarterly and be $500, because you're going to change guys over the year. And if you wait, the guys that you're trying to encourage in the May time to get over there, when one guy leaves, well, I'm not going to get it, right? But if you do it quarterly, it might help you on, because if you have any turnover, you lose it for that one guy and he's gone, and then it's gone for the year. Since you don't want to do it through payroll, I understand that. Because Corning has that same problem when they do nights to days, payroll is always screwed up. So I definitely understand that, but I would make it more of a multiple times through the year, so you can encourage guys when you need someone to go to nights. Okay, hey, go to nights for me, and in 3 months you're going to get a $500 check, right?
Exactly.
Does that make it horrible for you? Quarterly?
No, it's more if we have to change like hourly rates or whatever,
And then the other thing is it prorated, or is it the whoever had the majority of the quarter there gets it? Because when you have that transition is the other problem. So you and Arlen got to agree to what the program is, because you could easily say, okay, in the quarter, whoever did, if you did half and you did half, you just get 250. You did the first half, you did the second half, and the chief has to write a letter. Arlen, that's a headache for you because you might have to do it for six people one time.
Well, I would,
you know,
even,
what I'm saying?
First of all, I think the quarterly idea is fantastic because it does a variety of things. It may make a guy stay till the end of the quarter because he's going to get a $500
check.
That's
right, exactly right.
Instead of leaving in the middle of season or doing something like that. So I think that's a great idea. We used to call that mission pay.
Yep. Yeah.
Meaning that if you were on a special mission, night being a special mission, you got a mission pay, you know, on the signature of the director or on the signature of the department head. So I like the idea, but I would say that if you don't stay for the quarter, you don't get.
Right.
Yeah, you don't get half of it if you're there for half the quarter.
Probably
you get.
The only time a night shift guy does not work nights is 2 days every other month, and that's because they're in court on Monday.
Yeah. So I mean, if a man is committed to working a night shift, and he was committed to be night shift for that quarter, he should get the money. If he was committed to night shift, but he left in the middle of the quarter, I don't think he should get $250. I don't think he should get squat. Okay. He's leaving.
Will that cause you any other issues with your staff or anything?
I don't think so. I think the guys that are working day shift want to be there. They're older. I shouldn't say older, but they more.
More
you can say older with us. Mm-hmm. We're older.
And they like day shift, and it doesn't bother them.
Plus, the year-end bonus is usually based on the longevity, and those usually the longer guys to get larger bonuses at the end of the year,
and
right?
We don't have turnover, but if we do have turnover, that person, whoever comes in, is
going to go
on nights, and it would be a benefit to say, hey, you know.
Yeah, for recruiting. Yeah, exactly right.
I like that quarterly idea, David. I think that's fantastic. Any inputs? Alan?
No, I'm still thinking about it. Right now, I don't have a big issue with it.
Okay, will you speak up if you do?
I've heard of it, the gears
are spinning.
It's the first I've heard of it.
We'll come back to you. Joe?
Obviously, it's a competitive landscape out there, and right. That's something that's added that could help. I'd be in favor of it.
John?
Well, my background is special duty gets a little more money.
Yeah, it's my background too.
Yeah, particularly in the military business, pilots got more, submariners got more, all those special duties that require a little bit above and beyond the normal got more pay.
We get the best calls at night.
So, Alan, yeah, any?
I'm good with it. I'm set up to still. I think there's some details that the chief's going to have to work out on. How you going to do it, who qualifies, how much you have to work to qualify. I mean, that's your job to do that, so I'm not getting into your job.
So then, let's be clear. We're going to go with a $500 bonus quarterly.
Well, right now we're funding a program.
You're right.
We're talking about funding a program.
Policy across the board for all employees that work night shift, or are we authorizing chief to put some money in his individual budget to do bonuses only for his staff that works night shift.
That's what.
Get into some.
Right. So
yeah, help
I
us
think
here,
right
Nancy.
Now we should budget, and then we got to work all the policy issues out between Nancy Arlen and the chief on, so it doesn't cause us problems later, right? Because we have fire department guys that are on nights, although they're 24s, right?
Mm-hmm. Ed?
Yeah.
53-hour week work weeks.
Yeah. So I mean, they got to look at all the details, but I think from for the budget meeting, it sounds like what I'm hearing, or what I would say I'm in favor of, is we will fund $9,800 for a bonus program to be drafted and approved later to support retention of night shift police officers.
Okay.
That's what you're asking for, right?
Yes.
And, I mean, then we fix the budget, and then you guys got to do the work and bring it back to council to approve before you can spend it. But at least you got it in the budget.
Yeah. And if there are any issues with other department heads, please, you know, bring them forward.
Yeah. I mean, the only other people who are nice are fire, right? Is there other people right now? I know Jimmy's guys work weekends, but they get call in on nights, and it's on overtime pay. They're not scheduled.
Yeah, they're getting paid hour for hour, aren't they, for what they work.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's overtime, I assume. Nancy, I'm asking, or payroll, I'm asking, because I don't.
Yeah, but typically it's overtime, depending on how many hours they've
Right.
been for the week.
But they don't schedule any night people. They schedule weekends, but not nights. I don't think.
As far as I know, I mean, we can see, yeah, there's some garbage collection on the weekend.
Nancy, what are you doing overtime and weekend work? Do your people get overtime, or how does that work?
We have comp time. They get given a choice of comp or overtime, but we have very little.
Okay.
Jimmy, you don't schedule any night time other than the hurricane, which we handle differently from us. But, yeah, you schedule weekends, but no night.
Right, yeah, it's just on-call deal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the weekend's on-call with the exception of David, I guess.
They have rotating people.
Yes. Oh, you have rotate guys? And so they don't work another day or during the week or something? Or is that additional to the week when they're working, when they have the weekend?
Do what now? I'm sorry.
When they have to do the cleanup at the Oceanfront Park on the weekend, and we do the what I always see David doing.
Right.
When he does that on a weekend, does he get other days off during the week?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, fine.
Wednesday,
okay. I just want to make sure that everybody's being treated fairly and consistently, and if not, we need to hear from the department heads, because you have a lot of weekend work in.
Use comp time as well.
I use comp time. Okay. All right.
I usually just do overtime.
But you have employees who are scheduled work night shift on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm trying to.
Is that the part timers that are scheduled on night time?
Policy across the board for every employee who works night shift, and how do you define night shift?
But if it's a 24-hour shift, is that? I think you have to look at that differently, right?
Yeah. No. So I think the purpose of the bonus is for retention of night police officers.
Yeah.
So you guys get the details of how you do that, but when you're making a targeted bonus and define it that way, you guys just got to make sure the rules are okay with that and you write the policy that way. No one else is having a problem retaining people for night shift. The only other person would be the fire department. Are you having any retention problems? I know you've lost one guy recently because you replaced him right away.
I mean, we don't have part-timers at night, so we lost a guy this year, lost a guy last year, so.
Right.
I mean, two.
For full-timers. Yeah.
Excuse me.
For full-timers. Full-timers work 24-hour shifts.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a different story. Okay, so this is specific to nighttime police officers. So we're all in agreement about adding $9,800. Okay, we have consensus. Put it in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Mike?
It's now up to 70,000.
That's right. Well, keep track of the number, right?
That's right.
Like when you do TurboTax up in the corner, we should see it's rolling up.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Anything out with the general fund?
Yes. I think it was our last budget meeting near the end, and might have dispensed, and some of us were in here talking, and about this big blue wall back here, and putting the town symbol on there, and I think Mandy has shown us how much the small one that they are all already made up or make it bigger. And my recollection doesn't work as well as it used to, but I think David mentioned, how about a painting or a mural? And so I contacted a lady of some work that I have seen in a house here in Curie Beach. And she sent me a couple of things. She did a little research on Curie Beach. I came over and measured, and from the plugs up there on each side is about 25, 26 feet. And from the back of the chairs to the ceiling is about 10. So I told her a 10 by 25, you know, mural. Having to do with Curie Beach. So she sent one picture, she did some hand sketching. Her name is Alana Solomon. She has a website, all that. And it's a picture of the pier with like people fishing. It's very full of people fishing and the pelicans and all that. Kind of
any thongs?
No thongs. That was not in the research. The other picture or drawing that she did was more of a beach scene, a little in the background, pier, turtles scurrying into the water. So both of those are certainly apropos to our community. The more intricate one was about $5,000. The less intricate one was $3,300, her estimate. We didn't get into timing or anything. I contacted her. Mm-hmm. She did some research on the Kerry Beach, and she sent me these two pictures, which I meant to bring, and they're laying there on the table this morning.
Maybe you could bring them tonight, I'll John, so you could just take a look at them.
I'll bring them tonight.
So these aren't logos, these are scenes.
No, this is her painting that wall. It would be just like a mural on the side of a building you see somewhere or something.
In which case we...
This is not a great big, like a sheet that you hang on.
Yeah, right, right.
Should you had a great discussion with Ms. Avery about it will cause some issue. You get it painted up there, and 5 years from now,
might have to
it's
paint
invading,
it
and you paint it again. What if we change the rest of the decor? You go to a different color. So there are some things to think about. I don't know if she puts it up there and then covers it in shellac so that, you know, maybe that's a possibility too. But for that wall covered in Kerry Beach type scene will run somewhere $3,000 to $5,000.
$3,000 to $5,000.
From this, and it, I only got the one bid. Mm-hmm.
Mandy, do we know, did we get an estimate on what it would cost to put a big logo up there? What would that cost?
We were looking at between $5,000 and $6,000.
$5,000 and $6,000. So we actually have very similar, potentially similar conditions.
That would be this year's budget, right?
That would be this year's budget, yeah. So, interesting. Anybody have any feedback on both proposals?
We held off on doing anything else until we saw where the project budget was.
Since
we
were
in crunch time, to be honest with you. I've got my reservations about painting, the same as I think Nancy did. We put something permanently on the wall. Sooner or later, we're going to have to paint over it.
Yeah.
And that always causes problems. But I think we need to make sure we understand the function of this room. And we'll say we're above anybody else, but I think the logo, I personally think the logo would look the best. So then some type of a beach type scene. Mm-hmm. If you're painting it on the side at Oceanfront Park, it might be a different story or something like that. That's just my opinion. So
the logo is a beach scene.
It is a beach scene. It is. Thank you, Mr. Batson.
The logo is a beach scene. But very good. Yeah, very
I like
good.
The logo mounted on the wall.
What is the size of the one that we thought about? 5 feet in diameter or something?
They're between 5 and 6 feet.
5 and 6 feet in diameter.
Well, so I would ask that we move this to the tonight's discussion and
that's
work on the budget part, because Harlan's still got a big hole that we got to decide how we're going to fill, and I'd like us to move on to that. I think the issue is at least right now we think whatever goes back there is either going to fit in the project budget or we're going to address it this year at the May meeting.
That's a good point.
Think, right?
So we'll... John, will you pick that up tonight as one of the commissioner items and bring that discussion forward and bring those drawings so people can take a look at it? But I'm now that we have the information, I am a little more inclined towards logo, but we'll see. Okay. All right.
To include it in this year, again, we have that June 30th. You know, it would need to be purchased and or, you know, completed, you know, by June 30th.
So tonight
so
we
if
make
you
a
send,
decision, right?
If you send out the purchase order...
That doesn't count.
Have to have the invoice.
You got to have the item.
The item. Okay.
Yeah, well. It's not like in our world where you can prepay.
Yeah.
Harlan's not allowed to do that.
He's not allowed to do that?
In the company world, we're allowed to do that for some reason.
Okay. All right. That's a good point. Let's continue on with the budget meeting.
Well, just to make nothing else with the general fund. Did anybody?
Finish with the general fund?
Anybody? It's your last chance.
Okay, move on. 33 more pages to go.
Yeah, a lot of those we can skip over. So
oh, okay.
So next is the water and sewer fund. So we had about, you know, about $61,500 shortage. So some of the increases, building maintenance within administration, that's the other half of the gutters. And then for water and sewer operations, I put an amount in there, which is really to balance, which would be potential capital improvement projects during the course of the year. No decreases that were discussed after the last meeting. And then the revenue increases would be the actual increase in the residential, commercial, and Fort Fisher water and sewer rates, which was to lower the minimum gallons to 2,000 and then increase each rate tier by 10%. So then that's the related revenue, estimated revenue increase for those actions, bringing us down to a balanced budget.
Hmm. Do we have multiple prices on that, on the gutters? Or do we only have one price on the gutters?
No, we're using the same company that did the rest of the work. The roofing company did the work.
So Seamless Gutters.
They're commercial grade. Right. What killed us is downspouts.
Yeah. The what is?
Downspouts are what's the expensive part.
And there was already some money in there, but it was at our last meeting. This was just to increase it, to bring it up to more what we got on.
And like I said before, that may go away if we can get our project.
Yeah. Okay. Now that I'm looking at it, it just seems high for seamless continuous gutters.
Well, it's not seamless continuous gutters. It's prefabricated metal that's been bent and custom. They're not coming up with a big reel of aluminum.
Yeah, and they're a lot bigger than the gutters.
Yeah, they're a whole lot
bigger. Sure, they'll be larger. The building's a huge. I mean, there's a lot more water off this roof than a house roof.
Okay. I stand corrected then. If you two believe that's reasonable, no. I'm okay then.
Yeah, unfortunately. And everything's more expensive now in construction right now.
So
I think we didn't start now, actually.
Yes.
Because everything's up like 10 or 15% construction. I'm sure John can tell you, right? If we'd have started that project instead of starting last fall, if we'd have started now, it'd be 15% more on materials.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No one understands that.
Our church is building a building, they went up because we didn't get it started.
And Craig, they also based the pricing as they based the pricing for the fire department. Some of the areas that already had gutters. So we're getting I feel like we're getting a good price.
Yeah.
And
okay. I mean, I forgot that they are much larger than residential gutters. Okay. Look, I have two guys who are in construction business. You tell me that's good, I'm fine with it. So we have no issues here.
Well, we've raised the rates.
No.
That's the issue.
We raised the rates.
That's the issue, but.
And I'll show you just some examples of what those rate changes
will look what's like going to impact
for,
will be,
for
yes.
For different customer usage levels.
Yes.
But I'll show you that in a minute. So any other things? Water and sewer fund. So this is kind of where we are, excluding what we just added to the general fund, but this is where we would be. So everything is balanced except for the general fund. Water and sewer, or stormwater fund, I'm sorry, I just kind of balanced that out, put the overage we had as just potential capital projects, which hopefully they won't come about. We can actually add some to our fund balance since we've greatly depleted that fund balance.
Yeah, I mean, so I think there's going to be, we have someone coming to talk tonight that is a potential stormwater project. I don't know, I agree with her, but it's a potential stormwater project, right? Denise
Hubbard.
Has she talked to you recently, Jimmy? Okay.
We just have to watch that. We've taken that fund balance from about $1 million down to 200-some thousand. So
but the reason we didn't have more problems in the town is because of that. So
I know it was all planned. My
all the other towns around us got hosed, and it's an argument over whether 6 or 10 houses had any stormwater in them during the 30 inches of rain, right? So every other town around us had a significant number of homes impacted because of stormwater issues. And while the 6 or 10, John, did we ever figure out what we think the real number is on water from the ground going into houses? Not from rain and from the sky, but from stormwater on the ground?
No.
What do you think your best number is, you think?
15.
15, okay. And none of it was but the first, you know, a couple inches in the first floor compared to what happened in every other town in the county.
That number right, Jimmy? Yeah, probably about right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, and some of those have had problems before and still.
Outrage.
Yeah. So the those expenditures protected people's property, so it's the right thing to do. You know, if we can't lose sight of that money has been well spent, and we're going to spend some more of it if we find problems. As long as the property owners and the town agree that it's public water, not private water crossing private property, we're going to continue to spend money out of that.
Right. No, and I understand.
And if your recommendation is we should address the stormwater fee, then we got to look at that.
Well, and that's something I think I brought up last year. I didn't bring it up as part of this budget.
Right.
And we definitely took those actions 5+ years ago to build up that fund balance to use it for, in particular, I guess the Curie Beach Village project that was, you know, $600,000-$700,000. So
yep.
I'm only bringing it up that if we have future big projects coming up, yeah, we're going to have to do something to address the funding source for
this. But this year you think we're good, and so we'll see what happens. Every year we should talk about it. Okay.
So again, this is just showing the different funds in relation to the current year original budget and amended budget. Again, we've already made changes to the general fund, so that you can kind of ignore that. But I kind of tell you, there's no fund that's really way out of whack, I guess, with last year. I mean, water and sewer was up, you know, 10%. And a couple others have decreased significantly. PAL bill, we had appropriated fund balance this year for some of the street paving. And beach protection is down, you know, because we're not transferring. There's no transfer to the beach protection fund budgeted this year, so.
Where does our payment to Carolina Beach?
That's in the water and sewer.
Water and sewer.
Mm. Yeah, we're meeting in 2 weeks, I think.
It's 29th.
29th?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
So the, I mean, does the lagoon have capacity for us to use the lagoon to manage some of this, or if it gets
not
out of hand?
Not I mean, so we're maxing it out.
Oh, we
save
are
as
right
much
now?
As we can. Yeah, we went from like 20% to, I guess we're like 70 some, I think right now. So we're trying to get as much as we can. You got to balance it, and then you want to try. The best way to operate one of those is you get your target load, and then you keep it there. That way it balances itself out, and Jimmy's not chasing the system to work. And so I think 70% is the right goal, because what that does is two things. If we ever have a big storm event, he can divert water there when we're backed up at Carolina Beach and we don't have it coming out in the streets, which is everyone
that's
appreciates
excellent.
That, right?
Yes, yes.
And two, it gives us the maximum savings. So I think I'm interested to see how the 29th meeting goes, but I would expect if anyone's been looking at the numbers, they're going to ask what's going on. I expect Jimmy and Joe and I to hear them say, what did you guys do? Because they didn't have a full year of the last time in Ireland, right? So the four of us will get to hear them say, okay, what's going on down there?
Who's in charge up there now?
Jimmy? I don't know. Gil left, so it's his number two, I assume.
Mark Meyer.
Okay.
Well, I think what's going on is they're building a whole lot up there.
Yes, they are.
Oh, yeah. Well, but they'll see. They measure it on our usage.
Yeah. Yes.
And so the other thing is because of the way they do the fixed costing, it actually helps us because they don't do it right. But I tried to get them to change it 10 years ago, and they never did, so we're not changing it now.
We just have to watch what they're saying is actual water treatment, because they're doing multiple projects that really shouldn't impact us at all.
So right. Okay. Some of them should. The fixing the thing that blew out the hurricane should.
Right, but not all of them. So it's, and they haven't provided us any of that information yet. So.
Right.
Are you talking about the pipe in the river?
Yeah, that one is definitely us. We have to participate now.
Yeah. They haven't said anything about it yet, though.
Yeah, probably not. I don't know.
What gets difficult is when they're paying, you know, let's say they have one loan or they have bond proceeds.
That's right.
Well, some of it's going towards water treatment. Some of it might go to water distribution.
Right.
That has nothing to do with us. So it's making sure they get
the right
allocation.
Arlen and I have watched that very closely.
Okay.
Because we've been in place in them in the past.
Yeah.
A fight is not the right word. We've been in disagreements, right? And so both sides watch very closely how that thing works, as it should. So that's the fair way to say it.
Well, I'm convinced we have a tough team up there to represent the town's interests, so I'm okay. Good.
But we are balancing out as best we can, so we're taking full advantage of the crossover valve system that we invested a lot of money in, and I think it's definitely paying for us.
Okay. Good work, Jimmy.
They definitely noticed it.
Yeah.
It's called managing your water.
That's right.
We're going to skip all these unless anybody has any other questions about a specific department. Okay, so this was just each department by the significant increases, which we kind of went through last time, but it's just updated for any changes. Same thing with water and sewer, stormwater. I'm not going to go back through here unless anybody has any specific questions, but I told you the changes to any revenue estimates. So I'll skip all those. That's why I told you, Craig, we could move quickly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm going to come back to that. I want to go to this just for a minute since we were just talking about this. And these were some options that I had last time or mentioned, and council looked at option number 4. So that's what's built into the budget. I kind of looked at this. It's like, well, how many accounts on average are affected per month? And all I did was look at, well, how many were in the 0 to 2,500? If we reduce it down to 2,000 gallons, okay, on average, it'll affect 121 accounts per month by making that change.
So 10% of the low users are affected.
And commercial, what's meant? And
when you say accounts, is that like, that's like over the whole year, right? So that's monthly. You do this by monthly, right?
Yeah, I came out, that's an average per month or whatever, yeah. So I looked at a 13-month
average
period.
Number of accounts.
So it's 121 accounts affected each month.
Right,
so
just on that part of the
on
change.
That part.
Right, so yeah. So half of the accounts, number of accounts, average.
Because you have so many accounts, when you start averaging out, you have so many accounts that for half of the year, basically.
Yeah, that's right, because there's not anybody in there. I got you. Okay.
Every month we got 1,100 accounts.
I got you.
At that rate, 974, 102,000.
But all the full-time people here, well, most of the full-time people are going to get impacted.
Right, and that's what I'm going to show you next.
121 is going to be the full-timers.
So this is just some examples. So let's say the people that use exactly 2,500 gallons. The left side shows what they would pay currently. So it'll come out to $37. They'd only be paying the minimum. With the proposed changes, they're going to pay $42.67. So they would actually have the largest percentage increase. They have like a 15.3% increase.
But they can manage it.
Yes, they could bring
it. And that was the whole point.
Right.
That if you don't use it, you're not going to pay for it.
Right. Then I just went to another, 5,000 gallons. And as you can see, what happens is, the percentage keeps coming down a little bit the more you use because you're spreading that reduction in the minimum gallons across larger.
And the 42 is if you use all 2,500 gallons, right. And not if you use 2,100 gallons.
That's right.
Right.
So it's all
the
usage, that's maximum.
Right. I just threw picked a couple levels as the potential impact, so you could, just so you would know. These are just two more, increasing up to 12,000 gallons. What the
12,000 gallons of water.
So, the change would be 11.2%, and if you use 18,000, it'll be, again, the percentage change. Dollar, actual amount's going up, of course, the percentage is coming down.
Very good. So how many fire truck loads is that, Ed? 18,000 gallons?
18,000 divided by 500.
Yeah, exactly. 180 divided by 40. 38.
36
fire trucks 36. With the water a month.
And then this is for commercial, again, just so you can see the impact on different, I picked kind of two. We either have commercial accounts that are, under 20,000 gallons or ones that go, above that during certain times during the year. So just the impact that that would have on commercial accounts at two different levels. And then I did the same thing for Fort Fisher, which again, we have extremes. You know, you have like the aquarium fire suppression system, which is, you know, minimal number of gallons, or you have, you know, some of the other that are well over 400,000 gallons a month.
Has the Air Force Base, your usage gone down since they've...
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I mean, that fluctuates a lot or whatever.
They haven't had anyone in there because they have their rent until now. So I'm sure. I think they just opened up this week, right? I saw a bunch of cars there.
Weeks, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that will give an idea of, you know, the impact on a Fort Fisher customer. So again, it pretty much follows right line on what, you know, the change is to increase each tier by 10%.
Yeah.
So I'll back up then to... you want me to go back?
I wanted to go back to the first page there, the options. Just wanted to take a look through that again.
I mean, so what this option does, it's not... We're not building reserves, basically. I mean, so that... I just want to make that clear, too. We're pretty much covering our operating costs plus part of our depreciation of capital assets. We're not building reserves.
And
but in the evaluation of a water system, if we go to the guys that do that right online, we're still in the green.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, we're not moving away from the green a little bit is your point.
Right.
And over the long term you can't keep doing this, but right now you're still in the green.
Exactly. And you know, it's just, again, you know, what do you want to do for the future? Every time a project comes up, do you want to go out and borrow money? Or do you want to have some, you know, capital reserve set aside that you know you can use for, you know, upcoming projects?
Could you pop through the tier increases one more time, just so I get them in my head a little bit?
Harlan, our pricing is just surely on usage of water. Is there any impact on the size of the pipe that comes into a commercial building or a house? Or
I think we're pretty much all the same. Isn't everything?
Yeah,
there's prices for the actual meter or whatever. If it's
the initial buying of the meter, you pay for one time. But it's all based on quantity. So every gallon of water. Well, we have a commercial rate, so they pay a commercial rate.
Well, I'm the finance guy for our church, Brandon, not the church people. And one of the water bills, I get four water bills a month. The parsonage, the church, the new building that's being built, and a place we call the YAC, the Youth Activity Center. the first bill for the new building is 5 gallons. It's like $325. And they said that's because you have a 2-inch meter and the minimum is 0 to 300 gallons. So I said, well, why'd they put in a 2-inch pipe? So we're gonna pay a minimum of $300 a month, no matter how much, well, up to the first 300 gallons that go into that building. I said, couldn't we have put in a smaller pipe? And she printed out the sheet of paper for me that had the different rates based on the size of the pipe.
That's the Carolina Beach rate, so that's just their commercial versus their residential rates. Mm-hmm. Ours are similar, but it's not based off the pipe size. We just classify you as which type of account you are. In Carolina Beach, commercial gets you a bigger pipe, because they assume you're going to use more water.
Well, they size it too according to the size of the building.
Yeah. So the building inspector, do you tell them which size they have to put in down here? About what their usage is? Or do you, Jimmy, when they're saying, when you are reviewing plans for like a business, this is the size?
That's going to be called out
by the engineer, the architect? Yeah. So they probably classified the church was going to use it as a commercial or a large use space.
But it has a kitchen and two bathrooms.
Next page.
That's what I have in my house.
Yeah.
Anyway, wondered why they were so much different than.
You have a sprinkler system?
Oh, yeah. Could be a sprinkler system. For the new building.
No, I cool. Think, well, could be fire suppression things.
I can print those off for you.
We took all the
I actually have them. I was just looking at it in my own screwed up way. Okay. All right, got it. It's still all based on, you know, you can manage this.
Okay, so then I'll go back to, I guess, what's still open, which is the just the general fund. Before we added anything, what I was looking at, if we didn't change anything, we had a shortage of about $55,000. To close that gap would actually be, you know, approximately a 0.75 cent increase. You know, we've since added to that, which now we have a difference of about $70,600. So bringing you more in line with like a 1%. Or 1 cent increase, I'm sorry.
Is that on the bottom there somewhere?
Well, 1 cent, the column in green is where we would have been if we hadn't changed anything. So if you go to the right, it's a 1 cent. I said 1%, I really meant 1 cent.
Okay, so we're more like in the 1 cent column.
That would give you a little bit more than, and which could be added to contingency, added to
beach
to transfer some money to beach protection if you want.
Okay.
So that's $40 for $400,000.
The other option, as you talked about, is because of historic using the fund balance, which, I mean, I'm not in favor of. I never have been in favor of it. I've been pretty vocal over the years I've been on.
Well, but it's not my first choice. That's why.
No, I understand. Well, it's an option the council needs to be able to talk about it. I'm just saying you proposed it, or you said it was an option.
Right.
I'm just letting the council know I'm not in favor of that, but council should consider it, right? Because it's a council decision, it's not our decision.
Okay. This year, can you tell us how much the fund has grown over our expectation, the reserves?
Well, again, I can't really say how much it's going to grow this year until this year.
Till the year's over,
well,
right.
Well, the previous year.
Previous year.
What's the last 3 years it done? You probably have a graph somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, right off the top of my head, it's slowed down or whatever. And in fact, I think this past year it actually decreased a little bit, if I remember correctly. I don't have the number.
We took the hit for the $300,000 we put into the project.
Exactly. We added, besides the $5 million loan, we transferred money from the general fund to this project.
Yes, we did.
A little over
$300,000. About
$300,000. Yeah. We did that to keep the loan at 500. At,
so that,
I mean,
so
at
that
5
makes
million.
Our numbers look bad.
Yeah.
That makes our general fund reduction, I mean, our fund balance look bad because we took some.
But the investment went into an asset.
We just have to watch, too, that, yeah, you know, we saw the,
right, so it's a balance.
The Carolina Beach situation where you spend and you kind of spend down your fund balance. Well, the other side of that is it's not even so much spending down your fund balance as your expenses go up. If your fund balance stays static, you know, your percentage of reserves goes down because you need more for the increase in expenses. So, yeah. So we've got to kind of manage that. And I think what it's shown at the retreat is we've started to go we were increasing and our percentages were good. They're still good, but they're coming down.
What is our reserve at right now? Do you know? Just a guess.
$2.5 million.
Now, when we moved the $300,000, that actually just, we invested that in a town asset. So that just goes to a different part of the balance sheet, right?
Right. But it, we're on a cash basis.
Mm-hmm.
So in that regard, it really doesn't have any impact because when we budget and look at that, we're actually only looking at cash transactions, basically. Not really capital assets.
Not capital. Okay.
Now, there's another thing where we go through a whole process as of June 30th to kind of convert to the real world and actually have capital assets and accounts receivable and all that. So when we do that, yes, it'll add to the asset base of the town.
Yeah. Okay. So they look at cash, and then they look at the alternative, which is...
Correct.
Yeah, I think the local government commission looks more about just the bottom line dollar of what's in the account.
Yeah, I mean, it's both, because it's also where things like the retiree medical expense, that's when we look at it more on a normal, like a accrual accounting basis. That's where we have to factor in all those liabilities. So that's where we add in, like, every asset and liability the town has. When we're doing this process we're doing now, we're basically looking at 1 year, cash basis.
Yeah. I'm trying to think about the implications, and I'm trying to think of the move forward. If you do something with $70,000 this year, next year you still have to probably cover that potentially, because most of the things that we see here our day-to-day business in that general fund.
Right, and also thinking about the revenue side, I mean, there's going to get to a point where, okay, the economy's been good, so sales tax revenue is, increased significantly for us over the last few years. There's a point where that's going to, level out. That's our next largest revenue source after property taxes. There's not too many other revenue sources that we have that I would see jumping significantly over the next couple of years.
Now, when you look at things for, when you project our revenue, do you anticipate 15 new builds or houses, or you can't anticipate anything in the numbers that you come up with as additions to the tax base? Or do you just take year to year, it's 5%
growth? I get information for the tax base. I get all of that from New Hanover County. They provide... Every couple of weeks, they send out to all the towns within the county their new projections on what they think the tax base is going to be. So that's what I've been using in all my calculations. So that one, my most recent one was on March 29th, which had our tax base at a little over $903 million, but that includes $26 million of vehicles.
So $903 million, $26 million of vehicle. The last report, was it similar or?
Yeah, it was similar. It was maybe about 200,000 higher. So it can.
Oh, it was higher before this report.
Right. As they adjust this, I think the last one at our last meeting, I think I had one that was as of early March, and I think it was 903, 450. So it's a little bit higher. So as they get more information in particular, appeals. And other types of adjustments, that's more what's impacting this at that point. I mean, that number shouldn't change significantly. Even if it goes down, 100,000, 200,000, it's not really going to change
a whole lot
the estimated revenue. So,
do we normally beat that revenue number? I mean, just your estimate.
Typically, I try to get it as close, my guess, as close as possible.
Because it is a point in time. Right, it is a point in time to get it at the end of the year based on the value. Now, John, if we build 25 new houses, they do get a tax bill. They get a tax bill for just a portion of the year. Portion of the year.
Yeah. They have to pay up the land costs when you buy the land, and then you get billed for the house.
Yeah.
So at property close, taxes get paid up.
Yeah.
And then when he certifies them with a CO, so if they build late in the year, you just get land tax that first year because he doesn't give them a CO. That's when it goes on the tax books.
So
I think the way Arlen's been estimating that is the right way to do it.
Yeah, I was just trying to see what is all in it and what options, what levers there are. And okay, I'm open to discussion on this.
I told you guys where I'm at, so
yeah.
I don't need to say
anything. So everything we're doing this year is not a one-time deal. It's year after year. Spending money out of the general, out of the fund balance may get us through to help us out in a one-time situation like the building. But if we're going to increase our expenditures in the general fund, then we're going to have to make up the revenue. We got to do revenue somewhere. Our revenue source can't be the fund balance.
Well, we are increasing the most significant element of the budget, which is the cost of labor.
Cost of labor.
Sorry. And that is not going to go down.
So, in past histories, I think a 1 cent tax increase has given us options to do what we want to do, plus put money to big protection. We could take another approach and do a 0.5 cent, and our department heads do a good job in spending only 93-94% of our budget, and then we make the rest of it up out of fund balance, which would be about half of it of what we need. We got a couple options there. I just don't see how with us increasing our operating expenditures, we're going to get away with not having some type of tax increase.
Joe, state your position.
1 cent, put the rest in beach protection.
Okay. John?
I like this idea. We have a great town here. We provide great services to these people. And I think we can easily discuss the reason you folks are living here, you moved here, you enjoy what this town provides you in services, great police force, fire, Jimmy's folks keep the place clean and functioning maintenance-wise. I think they've got a great bargain now, and raising it a penny is not a big deal. Now, we're going to catch flack because the ones that come into the room are the "don't ever tax me again" kind of people. And I'm basically one of those folks.
Well, the only other thing that I'd say, there is certainly good points. Increase police protection, increase the cleanliness of the town. I mean, we certainly have good points. Fact of the matter is, we will be the highest taxed, other than Wilmington, we will be the highest taxing municipality. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying that that will be pointed out. So what were you going to say, David? I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, so I sort of agree with John that I don't like taxes, but I think I'm more realistic, so I'm not an anti-tax person. What I am is a give me value for my money person. Mm-hmm. Right, and so I think from my perspective is I can easily, and I hope the rest of council can, justify the spending the town does for the level of service the citizens get, right? And so that's how I view it. It's not a either or to me. It's a are we providing value to the citizens for their money, right? And so that's how I always try to change that question, because it's pretty easy to say no taxes ever. But then, okay, we can go live, we can go show them plenty of cities. Well, yeah, the tax rate's lower, but go look at the level of service and what you get, right? You do get what you pay for, I think. Mm-hmm. Or our job is to make sure, and your jobs as the department leaders is to make sure we are getting what we're paying for, right? So it's valuable. And so the things that the department heads are asking for and the council's discussing add value to the citizens, right? So that's how I think of it. The other thing is, do we know, Arlen, and we may not know this, do we know what of our retirees take advantages of the Homestead Exemption Act?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Is that public record where the town can know that?
I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know if New Hanover County Tax Department has any information on
that. Can we ask, because, I mean, if no one's taking advantage of, because I'm always very sensitive to the fixed income retirees, right? You guys have heard me talk about how we change our minimums, they can control, you know, make the users pay. And if we do know and no one's taking care of it, I'd like us to look. You know, the council is very sensitive to our fixed income people. You should review this and see if you're, if it applies to you, right? Because, you know, in the years I've been here, there have been multiple retirees that have sold out and left because Curry Beach is getting more expensive living. I can name five or six that I knew personally as a kid that sold their houses and left the town because our tax rate has pushed them out. And I don't really like that. Yeah, or insurance. Exactly right. Or insurance, right? We can't help with insurance, and we can't give them a special rate as a town, but the state of North Carolina does have a special. It's not huge, but it would cover this tax increase, right? Mm-hmm. You know? And so I think it's important for our retirees to know we are sensitive to it, and hopefully you're using the programs the state's provided you, you know. Yeah, it does hurt all the rest of us, right? Because we all end up paying for it. But I don't know that we're using it. I'd just be interested. Because I think it's part of the message. It's like, look, you know, if you're one of those people in Curry Beach, you know, on a fixed income, you should investigate this. Here's the link on our website as part of the budget message. And look, we want you to be able to stay, but we also want to provide the services that we feel the citizens want. And that's what we're doing as council. But we're trying to do things that allow you to manage your cost, right? So you can use less water and not be impacted with this, right? You can, you know, you can't do anything about your tax rate, but maybe you can if the homestead applies to you. I don't know how long you have to have been in your house. But, so, I mean, that's where I'm at. You know.
When was the last time taxes were raised? Before last year.
Probably the year before that. I mean, we've had the last couple of years, we've pretty much increased them each year.
At least
I mean,
every year.
There was a long period of time where they weren't changed, they weren't increased at all, which really wasn't the way to go, but it was the way that the approach that was taken. We maybe had one year in there over the last five that we increased taxes.
So under Emily, taxes went up?
I believe so. I mean, I have to go back.
And under Dean, taxes went up?
Oh, I can tell you all. Oh, man, it doesn't let you do it as a New Hampshire County. You bum me out. So it was 2018, it's 33. 2017 was 285. 2016, sorry about that. 2016 was 285, so it didn't change 2016, 2017. 2015,
revenue neutral.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We did add a reval there, and when we kept it the same.
Same, we really raised taxes.
That's mm-hmm. right. By a small amount, though.
2015 was 235. 2014 was 26, so it went down. So.
Well, I don't think that 235 was.
Oh, no, I was reading wrong. 2015 was 2615. 2014 was 2615. I'm sorry, I read the wrong line. 2013 was 2615. 2012 was 2615.
Right, so we had a period of time in there that we didn't increase.
2011 was 1625. So we raised it in 2012.
That was a reval, I think.
Yeah, it was, I'm guessing. Yeah. I don't remember now. Sorry, I can't help
you. Yeah, but since it was such a, that had to be a reval.
Why don't they make it a chart? New Hampshire County dips. So you can see by year, but you can't see it all together.
Right. That's why I have it that way, I just don't have it here with me.
And we don't know when the next reval is?
Well, it's gotta be coming up. And, 2 years, right?
Yeah.
The last one was at 17.
Let's see if it says calendar, maybe.
In all honesty, I'm torn. I do not want to use the general fund to pay this. That's against. At the same time, I hate being the mayor that while I've been here, we've increased taxes both years, we've increased water both years, we've increased sewage rate both years. So, but, you know, I guess so. We need to do what we need to do. And it seems to be the will of council that these taxes need to go up, Therefore, I guess we're going to have to do that, gentlemen. And I'll have to put out a note explaining why they're going up and what's going on. You guys can figure out who's running next year.
No way.
I mean, it really comes down to, because we're so limited really in revenue sources that we have control over. Mm-hmm. That are significant revenue sources.
Yeah, and I think
people would argue we do have control over how we spend our money.
The other side is, you know, of course, it's like you can look for more revenue. Right. The other side is you have to decide what you want to cut, if that's the other direction to go.
Well, and that's why I say it's got to be about the level of service, right? I mean, it's about
if we start cutting services, our emails will go off.
I think is well, I know they're already going off, right? So the one today about dogs, right? That requires a police officer to do that, right? The one about Jimmy picking up trash for spring, that requires a public works guy to, or a contractor, either way, whether it's staff or you pay someone outside, that requires money to do that, right? It's not free. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the all those things that when you look at the community, and that's what I tell people on the street when they have this issue, is like, okay, tell me the community you think we should be based on, because I want to go look at what they're doing and see the service level they're giving their citizens that you think is acceptable. But the majority of our citizens expect it to be the way they want it. They want it even better than it is, I think. Well, some of them, right? I think we're in the middle ground of where our citizens are. There's some that we should be providing a lot more than we are, and there's some that you should do nothing.
But I've also got a citizen in town that likes to provide me a list of all the tax rates, all the beach communities, but we fail to leave out three or four pages in there where you really see what type of community we live in compared to other beach communities, because we are restricted in our revenue from commercial and business district.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason I enjoy living here so much is because of the makeup and the feel of the community. As by the evidence of our citizens not coming to the budget hearings and complaining about taxes going up. They're not complaining. Well, I think we antagonize about it more than the...
Yeah, and that's a citizen choice. So, exactly right. If we had 8-story buildings in the commercial district, the tax rate will be a lot less for residential.
A whole lot less.
Because if you look at the percent value residential versus commercial in Curie Beach compared to Rice Fork, Carolina Beach, it's hugely different.
And some communities don't have wastewater systems that they have to pay. So there's things in there, I know that doesn't affect general fund, but it affects what the town staff, the town size, a lot of other things.
Well, listen, I was just going to say, these are all wonderful things to say. Fact of the matter is, when you look in your wallet in the morning, you don't spend more than you got.
That's true. Right.
Neither of us do. That's not true. If you're smart.
That's right.
I mean, you can take credit. So the point is, we're opting to spend more that we have, so we're going to take money from people's wallets. And if that is the will of council, we're going to go ahead and do that. And right now, that's the will of council. So I don't know if there's any more need to discuss this, unless somebody wants to change their opinion. And I don't hear that. Therefore, we're going to increase taxes by 1%. Unless these guys want to... 1 cent, excuse me. Which is... What does that come to?
1 cent. We put the extra in beach protection,
$40 for a $400,000.
Yeah, $40 on $400.
Just remember last year, we had the big tax increase. What was it, 4.5 cents? Mm-hmm. Two people showed up at our budget meeting. We told people they couldn't park on the street, and we had 90 people show up over two meetings.
Yeah.
So,
I would anticipate that at some point in time. I mean, we really have. We have taken up water. We have taken up the sewer rates. We have taken up the garbage rates. We've taken up the tax rates. There isn't any lever that we have not increased. Not one. And that's on us.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there is one fee we have not increased.
What was that?
Parking.
That's true. But some people would say we have because they're pissed off about having, you know, concrete things in front of their house, as Coffee with the Mayor has explained to me, right?
$5 an hour, $25 a day. I make a motion.
I got a parking ticket in Carolina Beach.
Good. So the only other discussion point is, Alan had a point about a half a penny versus a penny. And frankly, if you're going to raise taxes, raise the damn taxes, my opinion.
Well, I was just throwing that out there because, I mean, there's, and guys, if we don't raise the penny now, 2 years later, we're going to be in a position that we're going to be forced into raising it two and a half to catch up with what we've been spending that we don't have. I mean, we can't, unless we take money out of the fund balance or we overestimate our revenues, we can't make the budget balance without a tax increase.
Well, what is our total labor force now? Nancy, do you know? Used to be 44. What is our total labor force now?
46, I think, right now.
46?
So with the plus.
Well, I mean, what is authorized, not what's on board?
I think the authorized is 46.
Full-time.
Right.
46 full-time, including what we added for you, what we added for fire?
Yeah. As of
right now, I think the authorized is 46. So with the two, we'll be 48.
And we say there's 2,400 people in town full-time now?
Yeah, probably about, maybe a little bit less, I think is the estimate.
What's the number you
I think it was 2,460 or something like that.
21?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then in the summertime, on a big weekend, 8,000?
So 6,500 to 8, I would estimate, 3 to 4 times.
Beach has 80 employees, and their population is the same.
Right.
I'm sorry?
Wrightsville Beach has 80 employees, and their population is the same.
Okay.
We're not overstaffed compared to other beach towns. They're the same.
And their commercial is, what, 30% of their budget?
Right, okay. And that's our problem, is that we're a residential community.
That's right.
David keeps saying, and the property values in our business district are a minimal part of that 903,000.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we limit them. Not we, but previous councils basically killed those property values when they said we're not building over 35 feet.
Yep.
That's what they did. They depressed those property values. And that was a decision of the people, supposedly. I wasn't on council because I would have said that's a stupid decision for limiting the entire future of the town, but that's what we did. Because long term, that decision is going to get more and more expensive for the citizens.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's really going
to
do.
And to say I always get the question, well, next year we're going to need an increase or we're going to, expenses don't go down.
Yeah, and we stay.
Revenue sources aren't changing. So, to say what this future year is going to be, well, I think you have to look to the past few years to say what future years are going to be.
Right.
And I don't really see anything changing, whether it be the general fund or water and sewer. I mean, the cost to run our water and sewer system definitely don't go down every year.
No.
So, and
labor's
going to
get more expensive.
So.
Yeah. Just thinking about you're right, the insurance rates are up. The insurance rates for health are up, for the houses are up, for automobiles are up. The taxes for some individuals are up, income taxes. You're right, it doesn't seem to go down. So, and you're right too. I mean, that limitation has suppressed the value of the business district.
Right.
And the people of the town wind up paying for that. That's the cost of having the village look, kind of. Okay, so I guess we should vote on this. So we have a 1 cent increase to cover the budget without using anything from our reserve funds.
I make a motion we approve the budget as presented with the changes added, which would be an increase to the water and sewer rates as presented by the finance officer, an increase of 1 cent on the tax rate with the additions to the general fund discussed this morning.
Second.
Now this is just a recommendation for the public hearing. Correct?
That's right.
Yeah. Right. Right. So we have a recommendation for the public hearing. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that's where we are.
I have one. So this is what I'll prepare as what will be presented to council at the May meeting. I know Joseph had mentioned that the balance of, you know, the difference between the 1 cent and where we actually stand and go to beach protection, is that the consensus? You want that whole amount to go into beach protection, or do you want part of that to go into your contingency? Because right now your contingency would be 100% used if we get that camera grant, so you'd have no additional funds in your contingency.
I think it should probably go into contingency, and at the end of the year, if there's anything not in contingency, we can certainly move it over to beach fund. Be my view.
I would say, since we think we're making a tight budget, I would put it in beach fund, because with all the stuff around beach fund, I want to say we're putting something in there. I've said that before, right? I mean, it's more a strategic issue. If we need money for contingency, we can take it out of the fund balance, since we didn't need to balance the budget. But I like that in our budget, when we point to a county commissioner or a state legislature, yeah, we raised taxes and some of that money went in for beach, for sand as a contingency, right? So we are doing something, right? Because, you know, we have multiple members up there that say, well, everybody else is charging for parking, even though none of them are putting it in a sand fund, or very little actually, but that's the perception at the county commissioner level. So my input to council is we put something in the beach contingency fund. That's what we started it for, and we're at least we can point that we funded it every year. If we put nothing there, we can't say that.
So if we exceed,
we split it in half, I'm fine, but something.
I agree.
You know,
so if we exceed contingency, then we pull from the general fund.
That's right. Yeah.
Yep. Right. If you general, need additional, if we need additional funds, rather, yeah, if contingency's not there, we take it from the fund balance.
So general fund is 2.5, and what is beach? 1.2.
330,000.
I mean, I'm fine with splitting it in half, Craig. I don't care how much money it is, but something needs to go.
Something needs, I agree with that.
Right now, the only thing we have for that fund is the interest on the funds that are invested, which I think was about $6,500. So
that's, well, okay, what's your view?
I think beach protection, because just, you know, I was at the same meeting the county commissioners hit us with that about the parking.
Okay.
That gets something that we're putting something back.
Well, Alan?
Yeah, I'm good. I think we have to, I'm agreeing with David, we have to put something to show that we're putting something into beach protection.
John?
I agree with beach protection too. I mean,
okay.
Five of us last week were at the breakfast, and the whole breakfast meeting was all about beach protection.
Yeah, it helps Layton as well. You know, it helps the guys in the federal government when, you know, these guys are putting money away. They're doing their part, help them out. So I think it's just a messaging thing. And I'm fine if you split it in half.
Yeah, there's not enough to split.
Right, yeah, but.
So, beach it is.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Are we done?
I think. At least this part, unless anybody has any other comments, questions, no, thoughts on.
Sorry. Actually, I like what you had done. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is we got back from the graphic designer, so it has that. To the sense, which was part of the bottom, changed the wording, took off kind of the official lettering, cleaned up the inside of the logo a little bit, and then took the waves out and some of the around the bottom of the seagrass. And then there's like a sunrise and a sky version, which I kind of like both of them.
Yeah.
We could use both. We're not limited on that website with designs, but.
Taking town of off helped me a lot.
Yeah, me too. Exactly
right. The lettering of it too.
You took that outside circle
just for that, because
you took that outside circle off.
Yep.
It's a less professional looking font as well. It's more.
I like that. That's really cool, because I don't want it to be like so different that they're not. That's
yeah.
See, now that's really cool, actually.
Yes. I myself would probably buy some of those.
I like the sensor.
I think we all would, yeah.
Yeah, just to help promote it. I'll buy a couple just to help promote it.
So the question is then, which, go to the choices again. Okay. There's two choices.
Are you going to give the choice to be the one?
We could use both if you would like.
Oh, you can offer both?
We can.
Oh.
Yeah, we're not limited.
Well, then.
Yeah, I think that's really cool.
I should have brought my shirt that I bought off Amazon. I bought a Curie Beach t-shirt off of Amazon.
Yeah?
Got big block letters and stuff on it. Pretty. Yeah.
You didn't buy it from the pier?
Yeah, come on, man. What? Buy it local, man.
Bought off
yeah.
Amazon.
Gosh. Buy local.
Sales tax. So you need our permission to proceed, right?
Yes.
Opinions?
I like both.
I do too.
Yeah. I think you did a great job. What I like about it is it's a subtle difference, but it's enough to say, okay, this isn't a town employee, but it still has a logo, so people won't be like, you guys are snobs, you're keeping us wearing our logo, right?
And it'll look great on hats or anything. It'll look good.
Generate about $89,000 in revenue next year.
Really great. Nice.
Yeah, maybe.
Nice job.
I made it reworked with white lettering as well, because when you put it on a black item, the words get lost, but that's an easy fix as well.
I mean,
so the lettering could be white or black,
correct.
Depending
on
the shirt.
So it'll be four different letters.
And again, this is a great thing because we don't have inventory. They're buying it through the website, and they just send us a check for the percentage.
Right. What are we getting, 30%?
As far as the design for, which is minimal.
How much we get 30% or 10% or what do we get?
You start at 20, but then you can also add on a design fee. So I think the example I used last time was if the product that they offer is $10 and say our design fee is $3, we would get 20% plus the $3. So it would sell for $13, we would get $5 for that.
Oh, okay.
But the quantity, as it goes up, like your percentage also.
Are they embroidered or is it all?
Yeah, it's a screen printer.
I think it's screen printed. I'll double check on that. Okay.
And everything, mugs, hats.
Yeah, I want to see some examples. Cool.
That's great. I was very concerned having a different logo, but this makes it a lot better, I think. That's awesome.
The last three pages have examples of some of the products with this, the Blue Sky logo on it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
There's one across the pier. What's the matter with the pier?
Oh, no.
You can see on the darker items, like, you can't see the lettering, so you have to get it right.
Hey, find out if they can screen print and embroider both.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd rather pay for the embroidery.
Nice.
Yep, very cool. Very good. Okay, what is the will of council?
I'd like to make a motion we allow Nikki to move forward with this process.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Go get them, Nikki.
All right.
Let us know when we can order.
Yeah.
Send us a link.
Yeah.
Oh, do you need input from us about the design fee?
I think we would do three is kind of the average. It keeps the prices fairly reasonable.
Yep.
Okay.
But, I mean, you can go anywhere from $0 to $20, I believe, for the design fees.
So
the cheapest shirt they have is like $14.50, I think, around that.
Yeah.
So with a $3 design fee, that would make $17.50 for the cheapest shirt. And then, I mean, some of the products go up, like the hoodies are in the $30 or $40 range.
So are we saying we're interested in a design fee of $3?
That would be my recommendation.
Okay. All right. So now that we're going to go ahead and do it, do you agree with the design fee of $3?
I do.
Okay. I have a motion?
Yeah. Make a motion the design fee set at $3 for the Curie Beach logo.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. You got all you need now. Thank you, Nikki. Great idea.
Can we get a chart that just has it here? Or is it going to be?
I mean, we could design it small on the side. I mean, we could be not really limited.
Okay, ladies.
The samples we put together just had a big one.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, anything else? Then I would entertain a motion to close.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yeah, I'm in.